This is an Enterprise Tires podcast. My name's Steve Brooks. I'm here with Luke Behnke, VP Product Platform and Shared Services at Zendesk. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Platforms within your remit. We're here today at Zendesk Showcase. Just wanted to ask, because on the website you talk about Zendesk Sunshine as not just a platform, but almost non-platform. Could you explain a bit more about Sunshine?
I'm glad you picked up on that. Yeah, at Zendesk, we have always tried to think a little bit differently about, at first it was how we bring a help desk to folks that were dealing with legacy, on-prem, very difficult solutions, and how we make it just really easy, really simple, and do it in our own way. In fact, beautifully simple is a founding principle for Zendesk. And so when we thought about our platform, we've had elements of a platform for a long time, but when we really thought about doubling down, helping customers get more data into Zendesk, making Zendesk a more integral part of what they're doing with their business processes. The world doesn't need another go all in on this platform, put all of your data, all of your information here, and we'll solve all your problems. And in fact, we want to be more of a connector, more of a hub where data can flow in and flow out easily. It's really about solving problems that you have around your customer experience. It's not meant to be a place where we have to learn a lot of private sort of languages or new development environments. We want it to be an open, simple, perhaps even a fun experience to build applications that really serve real customer needs. And just like Zendesk, deliver value quickly. And then from there, our hypothesis is more and more customers will build more and more things as they start to see those quick wins on the platform.
So it's not quite an integration platform as a service in a sense, but there are similarities if you're calling it open, you can connect to anything.
We grew up in a kind of the modern SaaS world where we were a point player in customer support that had to play well with a variety of different data systems, whether that's whatever sales tool customers were using or marketing automation tool and all of the different e-commerce platforms that our customers use. And so we've always thought about Zendesk as a place where you can integrate in any forms of data and then take that data out and take it in customer and conversation data out of Zendesk. And I think Sunshine is really doubling down on that vision. And it isn't quite an iPaaS, but it is, in some sense, I think it's a good analogy about what we want to be. We want to be a place where you can easily connect in data. You don't have to be a developer to do that. You can use pre-built integrations to pump in customer data and then take all of that, build really rich customer experiences, and then also be able to take all that data out because you're inevitably going to have other systems that want access to that, whether it's reporting or whether it's other external workflow systems. And so that analogy is pretty apt.
You talk about profiles, events, and customer objects being the key components at the moment of Sunshine. But the only things within that, in the sense that data is profiles, so does the platform hold data?
The platform holds data, yeah. All three of those elements are new data models, essentially, for our customers. And previously, the customers had been sort of constrained to the overall ticket model, which is a container for a conversation they're having with a customer. And they could build custom ticket fields onto the ticket. They have, of course, a standard Zendesk user profile where you can put custom user fields. But that was really a constraining data model for our customers. Profiles, events, and custom objects are three new data stores. Events is what you might think it is, which is the ability to send in very small payload events, just everything that is happening with your customers, whether it's viewing your website or clicking around in your mobile app or made a purchase in your e-commerce shopping cart, or even if you have an IoT sort of system set up, an error code happened from a device and that device is tied to a user. So send that error in. It's really the ability to see a really rich view of a customer over time in a time series fashion. So that's events. Profiles takes the standard Zendesk profile and allows you to actually just connect in a variety of profiles from other services that you might use. Maybe you use an e-commerce platform like Shopify. Well, of course, your customer has a profile there and you want to use, say, some piece of information about that customer, say their email address or their phone number, to connect that profile in to Zendesk and then actually display that to an agent. Similarly, it could be you have a back-end database that powers your products. You want to bring that profile information into Zendesk so your agents can better serve them. And so being able to tie those together.
When you talk about profiles, is that kind of a data mapping exercise between Zendesk and other applications?
Yeah, we've gone actually a different route for now, and we may eventually get to data mapping and more transformation on the data. But today it's just taken that profile information as it lives in the other system and display it. Some support teams have built apps where you can just view all of those profiles next to one another, or you can even scroll between the different profiles. So we're not yet normalizing email address across all of the different profiles or trying to really transform the data as just so much as to bring it in, present it in a really easy to discover way. And that's our first step. I do think over time we will help teams build more of a master model around who that customer is, but it's a quite significant effort to really get that right.
How do you bring control around that? Because that sounds like it's almost too loose.
Using the iPaaS analogy, you could set up different fields in different connectors and then map those together in a visual mapper, but you're always going to be managing collisions or confusion or errors or issues. And so I think that's why sort of just bringing the profile in as it sits, it's pretty easy for a human to scrape over that quickly with their eyes as they're responding to a customer request, or if they say, I have a question about a certain thing that's in a different profile, to just be able to quickly bring that profile up and scan through it. I've gotten a lot of good feedback that it's a pretty elegant solution to just really presenting that data to the agent.
And customer objects?
Yeah, Custom Objects is our new data store. It is truly a flexible database as a service that's hosted by Zendesk. We have customers modeling all sorts of different things in Custom Objects. Some have modeled sales contracts that have a specific set of metadata around them, like what is the term, what is the rate, what is the monthly payment. We have customers modeling cars as Custom Objects, as an example. A big online car rental company is modeling their entire fleet of cars as a Custom Object and then creating relationships between that car and the user. And so when a user writes in, they know the last car that they took, and they can even see some of stats about how much mileage, when it last had an oil change, where it was last parked. So it's really this ability to build up your database of any kind of object that you have in your organization that you want to tie to customers or tie to conversations, display that information right in the agent interface, and even drive some workflow off of what's happening with those different objects.
That data, I assume, is not kept in another third-party system. It's something that's written in an application on the platform that leverages that custom object.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You spoke earlier about development languages and being fairly open about what development languages are used. That seems almost too wide. And have you got any controls around that or DevOps processes around that?
We support a number of API libraries kind of natively. We're trying to lower the bar to development on the Zendesk platform. We're built fundamentally on AWS, on the public cloud. Our customers are either natively on the public cloud or are increasingly transforming, moving from on-prem solutions to the public cloud. And often we find that digital transformation group, that first group that's doing that, really wants to make that data more available, put a service in front of it so that they can pull that data out. And via some connectors that we're going to be launching with AWS, we're going to make it really easy to get AWS data in and out of Zendesk. It's equally about being open with the data as it is open development environment, where you can build applications that you're already building in AWS, but make sure that that data is available both to that application and to Zendesk.
And obviously AWS not the only party at the table for platforms. Is there a consideration for moving to Azure or having another entity in Azure?
Definitely. We opened with AWS as our focus partner. And what I mean there is a few months ago, moved our last customer off of data centers that we were managing, co-located data centers, into AWS. And so we are running almost all of our customer payloads now. And there's a few things in other clouds where the specific needs are required, but almost all of our customer information is being processed in AWS. And so it was a natural partnership. It's also where we see the most traction with our customer base. But that said, Azure and Google Cloud Platform, we have active relationships with both, and over time, we'll be leveraging those two ecosystems as well. And it's not that you can't use Sunshine if you happen to be hosted on Azure, it's just we've built some standard connectors with AWS, and we've made it easier. The big differentiator is that it is public cloud-based, and we do want to be open and modern and support customers who are building on the public cloud, and not yet another proprietary language and deployment environment that we're hosting. That's the big philosophical and real differentiator.
Not sure you're aware, there's an HBR article around the three elements of successful platform strategy by Bonchek and Chowdhury. I think you've talked about connection and the toolbox you need because you've got the development tools in there and you've got the APIs in there. The other element is gravity. So what is pulling people into the platform for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. In fact, folks have given feedback that you're saying open and in and out. You want to build more gravity into the platform. Ultimately, almost everything we do at Zendesk, we build gravity by delivering customer value, putting events into Zendesk, putting more user data into Zendesk, building custom objects tables into Zendesk is great, but essentially you have another database. If we don't put more value on top of that for customers, there isn't a lot of value prop for them to do that. But if we start adding insights on top of that data, the ability, which we're working on, the ability to segment your customers and learn what customers are like others, maybe even getting into customers that did this in the past are likely to do this next. Now you have a whole other set of customers who have done this. Maybe you want to proactively get ahead of what they're likely to do next. Really providing those rich insights on top of the data. And I think the other one is just fundamentally, we're still really focused on delivering great products for agents and now for salespeople. And we really need to integrate the platform, and we're actively doing that. And we have a number of integrations into our products so that if you are already using our products, you'll find that all that Sunshine data starts to help you build really amazing customer workflows. If you have our embeddables, which allow you to communicate with your customer on your website or in your mobile app, we're going to be taking in that data so that you can build a really smart bot who knows who this customer is and knows what orders they have open, as an example, if those are modeled as custom objects, and can really start to deliver those personalized experiences. It's a contract. When customers store data with us, they're fundamentally saying, we're going to give you this data. We're only giving you the data because you're giving us something in return. And I think the something in return is all of those things I just stated.
The third element's flow, and that's around making the connections between ISVs, customers, Zendesk. Is there a marketplace? Do you intend to have a marketplace? How are you doing that creation of value between all the entities on the platform?
Yeah, we have a pretty active ISV ecosystem and have for a number of years. We have a marketplace where customers can look for apps, various types of apps, some simple data lookup apps and some much more complicated telephony integrations and workflow integration apps. So we have about 750 apps in our marketplace today. Actually, probably more incredible is that customers have built tens of thousands of their own apps on our apps framework, private apps that are often built either by our own professional services team or by a third party, a partner that we've mutually gone to the market with. But Sunshine is really where we are investing more, particularly in the SI community. Up until today, it's been pretty easy to just get started with a free trial on our website. Our big metric for customers is always about time to value without a massive consulting project to get started. And while that still is true, we want to hold true to that as we develop our platform. We also think it's important that you get set up right, you get set up for success. We still want you to get to value quickly, but to get set up for success, you're going to need help. You're going to need somebody who's done this before, who's seen this 1,000 times, has reference customers that they've implemented similar solutions. And we think our partner ecosystem is key to that. This week here at our London Showcase event, we announced that we have about 10 new SI partners working with us that have done customer implementations or are working on customer implementations. And so our partner teams have been really investing in building that ecosystem because it is about the customer, it's about us, but that partner is so key.
And you bought Base last year, which has now become Zendesk Sell. One of the announcements today was around opening up Zendesk Sell on the app framework, and you've got MailChimp and GetResponse as well. When's that like to become GA? Because it is the early adopters phase at the moment.
Yeah, what we're in there is activating the partner ecosystem because, as you know, it takes a bit of time for them to build apps. We have another showcase event in San Francisco in October. We're hoping to have an announcement there around some of these partner apps being available for customers. And then we have a whole roadmap into 2020 around really developing that apps framework functionality for Zendesk Sell. It's been transformative for our Zendesk support suite of products, having an app framework in order to really customize and bend the product to the individual need. We're really excited to bring that onto the Sell platform. And the fact that it's one unified development platform, you can check a box and an app that you had in Zendesk support becomes a Zendesk Sell app. And of course, many apps will be very customized for the Zendesk Sell salesperson experience, but it's all on the same development platform.
Where are you on the road to actually putting all of the Zendesk apps within the framework?
A number of new features that are launching in the products are built on top of our own framework, eating our own dog food, as they say. It's not the dominant way in which we build features today, and there's some good reasons for that. It's more efficient, especially in some of the more intensive processes that we run, to not go through the framework. But in many cases, it's just we need to keep developing features on the framework. And that's the best part about dog fooding your own stuff, is you learn what the gaps are and what we need to do. And usually if we need it, a lot of our partners and ISVs need it as well. We now have a roadmap specifically about our internal customers at Zendesk who want to build stuff onto the app framework, but they need just this one more thing before they could do that. We're just on that path internally. That's the future, where our customers and Zendesk are building on top of the same platform. And then that's when you get to really full customizability of the UI. Our customers being able to really drag and drop that UI around how they want and make it really suit their needs, versus us giving them some playpens here and there where they can work. It's a longer-term vision, but we know we got to get there to meet some of our enterprise customers' needs.
You're in charge of platform, so do you have a date why you want to get it done by?
That's a good question. I don't have a date. I'm impatient, and on behalf of our customers, I'd love it to be ready as soon as possible, but do not have a date for that one.
I'll read this out. The magnet creates a pull that attracts participants to the platform with a kind of social gravity for transaction platforms. Both producers and consumers must be present to achieve critical mass. Apple needs to attract both developers and users. Who do you need to attract?
The answer is that we are starting with our very captive audience of existing customers. We're still in early days of the platform, and those are the customers who have given us the most feedback, who are hungry. As soon as we launched custom objects, we had a few dozen customers at a very early access program who were just eager to start building. So we've learned a lot. We've seen them. But of course, as you state, that's not our end ambition for a platform. And so how do we bring in brand new customers? One bit of work that we're doing is to really fully divorce the platform from needing our products to create value. And we're not quite there yet. But when you have a really rich CRM hub of customer information, events about your customers, and with our acquisition of Smooch, you have this really rich platform for building interactive conversations. We really are going to help ISVs or new customers who maybe don't even use our product build up a hub of customer information. Think of it as an evented pipeline, a stream of living customer information that's coming through all of their systems. On the other side, you have all of that rich conversational information, everything that's been said in that conversation, all the different channels in which you're communicating over. We think that the combination of those two things is a really unique combination in the market for ISVs to come in. That's the gravity, to come in and build really amazing customer experiences. That's how we focus. We don't focus on unifying all of your data systems because you want to. You're really doing it because you want to deliver an amazing customer experience. Whether that's through our embeddables and being able to embed in a really rich messaging experience powered by all that data, bring apps into that conversational experience. You could pull up a little widget for putting in your credit card if you want to make a payment, or bring up a little widget with all of your orders inside of that conversational experience. We see a lot of demand, and in fact, Smooch has certainly seen a lot of demand from customers who want to build those really rich experiences. What Smooch hasn't had up until this point is all of that rich customer data. And so I think marrying those two together will be a really compelling offering for ISVs or for brands who want to deliver a really incredible customer experience around that conversation, that reaching out to your customers or having them reach out to you.
Sounds like what you're saying is if Smooch becomes within the platform, you can then offer that to other people outside of the Zendesk ecosystem to integrate into that and use that as almost a messaging component, leveraging Sunshine, regardless of whether they're using Zendesk, they'd be using another application there to pull in those functions.
You got it exactly right. Ultimately, while Smooch powers our social channels in our products, they today have a number of ISV customers, a number of direct brands that are using them to build these conversational messaging experiences. And so ultimately, I see Smooch coming in and being a key part of our platform offering, and having that conversational platform next to that customer data platform and being able to build bot experiences on top of it. You know, in order to build a bot, you need data. And so the data that we're starting to to pull into Sunshine, being able to build a bot, you'll want to start pulling more and more of that data in order to build the right sort of decision trees that are customized to that customer, build the right experience for that customer with the right SLAs. This is an important customer that we need to service first. This one can be served by a bot, and this one will get a set of Help Center articles for them to search. Really tailoring those experiences.
Two things I wanted to ask. One is, do you price separately for Sunshine?
Today, Sunshine is an add-on to our products as we fully divorce it from our product family from a packaging perspective, and where we can really offer a standalone will be next year, and that'll be a usage-based price. We're not exactly sure what it looks like, but it won't be our traditional per agent per month model, which of course breaks down if you're really building some brand new experience and maybe you don't even use our agent facing or our salesperson facing products. We're just starting to think about what that packaging looks like.
It sounds like you've almost got two strategies as an organization. One is the sales and service direction, which is around customer experience. And then you've also got this almost more platform direction, which if it takes off, and that's a big question mark, I understand that, becomes almost independent ISV ecosystem, which is an independent platform in its own right and doesn't necessarily need the backing of Zendesk. If you can do the sales within that platform, you've suddenly got a system on AWS that adds more than AWS.
That's it. In some ways, in terms of horizons, if you think about horizon investment theory, our initial horizon for the platform is supporting our products, extending, integrating, supporting the 145,000 customers that we have on our product family today. But you're exactly right about where this could go. And Smooch has demonstrated that. They have all these ISVs building somewhat niche applications on top of messaging. An example was a network of car dealerships that built a messaging app that you can just reach out and start messaging right to the individual salespeople that are selling cars. And you get connected to your salesperson. And then when you come in to look at that car, you actually know who you've been chatting with. All these really interesting use cases that have nothing to do with our Zendesk, the agent interface or the sales interface that you know today. Of course, you could then eventually say, oh, it's time for me to turn on Zendesk, the product, and it'll work based on this application being on the platform. But certainly the vision is to go beyond the product-first motion for platform.
It's a hybrid between a development environment and iPaaS solution almost, isn't it?
We actually give a bunch of tools for customers to actually directly interact with the customer. A lot of iPaaS tools don't really take the customer into it. It's about connecting System A and System B, and ours is connecting System A, System B with the goal of delivering an experience to the customer.
It's building more than just workflows within the platform, isn't it? That's the thing. So you're building applications within the platform, and the platform provides the connectors between the different systems of record.
That's right. We're embedded in, I think, 6,000 mobile apps today. The data connection behind the scenes, and that'll get more rich as more Sunshine data comes in, that's a big piece of it. But what we think is the most valuable part of that is that we're changing the experience for customers, the way in which we're embedded into a conversation that they don't even know Zendesk is present, or they're viewing articles or information, or as they're clicking around, the agent can see where they got stuck before they submitted that inquiry. Having that access directly to our customers, helping them build those experiences. All that data and connections and workflow is needed behind the scenes, but it's all in pursuit of delivering that experience to the customer.
There are a lot of ISVs out there who do not have the resources to build their own platform. They want something more than the Zapier in this world. Are you looking for those ISVs to come onto your platform, and how are you going to attract them?
I wouldn't say, again, that's our immediate focus, but we have seen it with, say, a BPO who's delivering a package solution, and they say they're not going to build custom objects, or they're not going to build an event stream that can scale to the levels that we're building ours for, or in the case of Smooch, they're not going to build that rich conversational experience. But they are packaging up software that they're going to go and resell powered by Zendesk. It's a part of what we're doing today. I don't think it's the focus. As far as how we attract them, I think it's a great question. We have a network of ISVs that we're working with today to deliver various solutions. Over time, there'll be more use cases. BPOs as a strategy for us might be one way that we go down that route to say they don't want to use the Zendesk products, but they want an experience built on top of our platform. There's a number of areas we could get into to get at the true ISV market.
Luke, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.